Come on in the house, because it's going to rain. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. At the 25th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse, concluding at the 10th verse, it reads as follows. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees of fat things, full of marrow, of wines on the lees will refine. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast of people, and this veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all the faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from all of the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in the mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down unto him, even as a straw is trodden down for the dunghill. God's word for God's people. Using those two texts, I'm going to marry them. I consider that part A. This is part B. And for a text, I would like to use for a subject, standing on the promises of God.
Everything food when I'm hungry. Father when I'm fatherless. A mother when I'm motherless. A friend when I'm friendless. God is
my everything. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God is. So God's got a blessing with my name on it. To him being my everything. God's got a blessing. Everybody should have been on their feet because that was for you. He's got a blessing with my name on it. Woo! Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you right now. Oh, hallelujah. I have been commissioned and dispatched for this appointed hour. I have been cleared by my Father to come in hot. To come in hot. I have been cleared to come in hot. Now let me tell you what that means. I've been cleared to come in drop a bomb. I've been cleared to come in hot. And I come in hot because I'm on fire. Because when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul can't help but cry hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. 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 Oh. Y'all better praise him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Nobody knows but you know where God met you at. Nobody knows. I got a friend. I got a friend. I got a friend. I got a friend. Where's all my praises at? Where's all my praises at? I got a friend. I got a friend.
He's been better than good. He's been better than good. He's been better than good. He picked me up out of the miry clay. I wasn't in church when I was saved. He touched me one day with a finger left. Said, come on out. Come on out, my child. Come on. Come on and join the army of the army of God. Come on, God. I thank you, God. He's worthy. He's worthy. We can't praise him enough for all that he's done for us. We can't praise him enough.
Praise him, Kelly.
Just praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him. Praise him. I have been cleared by my Father to come in hot. I have been cleared and commissioned and appointed this place and this time to come in hot. To come in hot. Y'all know I come in hot already. Because I know what he has done for me. How he's kept me minute by minute, day by day, hour by hour. I'm so grateful. Oh, need I say good morning? Good morning. How's everybody this morning? It's good to be back before you again. And before I go any further, I just want to recognize someone who is special to me. I'm glad she's in the building. Not just one of my daughters, but my other daughter. Dominique, would you stand, please?
Amen.
This is my other daughter. She's my other daughter by another mother. And I'm grateful that she's here. It's good to see your face in the place. And to my biological, I'm always glad to see her in the place, and I'm glad that she's not ashamed. She's not ashamed to give God praise. I remember when she joined the church, and she said, Mama, I just felt my feet moving. When I thought about all that God had allowed me to do, I just couldn't help but get up. She said, he allowed me to learn how to do this. He let me have this opportunity. He kept me through this, through that. And I said, well, praise God. If somebody at that age can recognize God working in their life. So I'm grateful that she's here. And to all of my Foul Shepherd family, you know how we get down. You know how we get down. Y'all my girls. And y'all my men. Y'all my friends and my family. So I'm glad you all are here as well. And to our visitors. Y'all just joined in the party, so we're just so glad that y'all are here as well. Just let loose and let God have his way. Because this is not about me. This is not about me, not about us. It's about him who is able to keep us from falling and presents us faultless before his throne. I am grateful to stand in the stead of one who's a true under-shepherd, the true under-shepherd of this house. In his absence, Reverend John W. Cade, I give you honor. And we pray for your safety and protection.
Amen.
But most of all, to the great I am, I owe him all honor and praise for choosing me for whatever reason. Because there's nothing special about me. I'm just a wretch undone.
Amen.
But he saw fit to choose me, for which I'm extremely humbled. Now to the task. Let's drop some bombs. Y'all say let's drop some bombs. All right. The book of Isaiah, my mother, I call her my mother. She's my other mother. You know, in the African-American tradition or community, we used to have a thing or belief of other mothering. And other mothering means that if I'm down the street and my other mother sees me, she can tell me what to do. So this is my other mother. So when I ain't acting right, my other mother can tell me to get in line. So the scripture that she read from Isaiah, the book, chapter 11, and then the one I read in chapter 25. Isaiah is a quirky kind of a book. Mm-hmm. And it's, if you don't read it, you can't read it straight away.
That's right.
Because if you read it straight away, it kind of goes back and forth, back and forth. It's kind of confusing. So you have to carve out certain parts to go together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like those prerequisites that you take in college, that if you don't take this class first, then you won't understand what's going on in the other class. So this is kind of how that's divided. He's a great Old Testament prophet, and he catalogs a time in Israel's history. And when he's writing it, it almost seems contradictory. Mm-hmm.
Isaiah was one of the major prophets in a time frame in which sin was tearing Israel apart, tearing away the fabric of a nation that had been carved out of the bosom of Abraham, the father of many nations, set aside to do the will of God. The people that were supposed to continue to tell the story of how he brought them out of darkness, bondage, a terrible state of affairs, into his marvelous light. How he kept them. He kept them for a reason. The reason was to give him honor and glory first. And the second reason was share the good news. They were supposed to go out and tell. You know, the songwriter says, go tell that. You're supposed to go tell it. They used it as a means to oppress, to make people feel that they weren't worthy. I'm going to tell you what I want to tell you, not what the good Lord wanted me to tell you. I'm going to skim out and you know, as they say, speed read and give you the down and dirty version. I'm not going to tell you the whole puzzle. So that's kind of what they did. These oracles by Isaiah describe the treacherous ideology that has now taken hold of Israel. The corruption, the wickedness was universal, almost like in the same note, like connotation as universal health care. It just became the norm. It was everywhere. They shed blood and the rulers did nothing about it. Public justice was non-existent. Doesn't that sound familiar? Y'all, come on, get with me. You stay with me, you see some parallels. Public justice was non-existent. Their guilt, they were so guilty and so far in, they just didn't see the need to turn back. They didn't have the courage because, you know, sometimes we get so far in, it's too far to go back out. So we just keep going thinking it's going to get better. They just keep going. They kept going. They pushed them over the proverbial edge. I'm in it now. There's no turning back. The curse of sin had taken hold of them. Sin became national. Now, if y'all catalog that in your mind, it was national. What does it look like today? Sin has become national. We make laws now to justify sin. Come on, y'all, say amen. Come on, say amen. Oh, they became a bad stock, a bad seed of evildoers. Treachery ran in their blood. Not just the leaders, but their children. Then, you know, that passed down, you know, like grandmama's apple pie recipe, we passed it down. They had passed it down to their children. It didn't stop there. They passed it down to their children and their children's children. Sin was treacherous. The departure from God became infectious, turning the infected into temptors. So guess what? I'm a drug addict. Now, misery likes company, so I don't want to be in this thing by myself. So I convince somebody else to try. Oh, man, just try a little bit. It won't hurt you. I'm in the club drinking and doing whatever. Come on, join me. Try a little bit. And before you know it, I got a group of folk joining me. The infected became the temptors. Vice overpowered virtue. Death had snuck in and did what he, now you notice I gave him a name. We know who death is. We're not talking about the death where we go to funerals. We're talking about death. Because the word says wages of sin is death. And who is the orchestrator of sin? Death is Satan. Huh? So he just does what he does. He gets into their mind. He starts talking to them and telling them all kinds of things. Huh? Oh, they prayed. They prayed. They tried to play church. They tried to play it off like they were still under the umbrella of God. So they prayed. They sacrificed, but all of that was in vain because what? Their heart wasn't right. That's right. They wanted to look the part, but on the inside, they were rotten to the core. Isaiah was called up for such a time as this, to be a voice in this dark time, this dark time of Israel's existence, to paint the picture. He uses such powerful language, words almost like a poet, spinning the tale of what life was like, using metaphors, similes to help us see and feel what the climate was like. But there were those, and those are remnant, him and his family and some remnant of those that believed. It was the remnant he was speaking to in the second half of the book. You know, he comes, woe is me, woe is me. He recounts all the sins of Israel, woe is me. But to the remnant, to the faithful, he made a promise, standing on the promises of God.
as he does with us today. If we keep his commandments, there'll be a crown of righteousness waiting for us. A ticket into the holy city. Isaiah captures the true essence of what this means. The mountain of God. Oh, the mountain of God is just a figure of speech to say the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem, that city. Come on, y'all get with me and say that city. Oh, Lord, there'll be a feast in that mountain. Not just any old feast. A feast that is particularly created. The one that has the fat, the good meat. You know, not. I give you a picture. It's not the meat that we buy off the Walmart shelf. If that don't get y'all excited, it got me excited when I was reading. Not the meat that you get from your grocer's, the meat section of your grocery store. Not even going to the butcher where you can get it size just right. The type of meat you want. You're not that kind of meat. I'm talking, to make it plain, you know they have the regular and the organic. It's sort of like organic is that good meat that you can't find anywhere. The one that God created, especially for those who were righteous. Those who hung in there, they are going to get their just reward. That kind of meat. Huh? It will be one to remember. That feast. Oh, Lord, I can't wait. I'm working. I'm working to get there. I'm working to be all right one day. That fatted meat, that good kind of meat, and that aged wine. You know, the longer you let it sit, the better it gets. And that feast is for everyone. Everyone. There'll be no exclusions. All right. Huh? It ain't like when the rich folk go to this $15,000 plate restaurant. Well, I can't afford a $15,000 plate. I can't afford that, right? Oh, they have it at this exclusive thing where you have to have a pass to get in. But they didn't leave my name at the desk. I can't get in. But God says if you remain faithful and you stand on my promise, you'll get a ticket into the feast. There is no exclusions. Black, white, orange, and yellow, you'll get a seat at the feast. Oh. There will be no exclusions. I can't go. It's not in the part of a town that I ain't supposed to be in, where I'm racially profiled. He said no exclusions. Oh, it doesn't matter where I live. It doesn't matter where I went to church. It doesn't matter where I went to school, because I didn't go to Princeton, Harvard, or Yale. It's no exclusions. Oh, Lord, there will be peace on the mountain. The new Jerusalem will be established on that mountain. Death will cease to trouble us. Come on, standing on the promises of God. Now, what does or should this book mean to me or to us? Huh? Come on, y'all. Well, this book means that we can have the last laugh. Come on, y'all know what that means. We can have the last laugh. All of our troubles, all of our sorrows, all of our heartaches, sickness, broke days, disappointments, trials and tribulations will all be over. Y'all say, all be over. All be over. Sickness, poverty, hurt, disappointments, heartbreak will all be over. All be over. Because I'll be in that city. That new Jerusalem, walking on the streets of gold, eating of the fatted meat, drinking of the good wine. I'll be there. Y'all can be there if we stand on the promises of God. The feast that we'll sit down at won't be one that costs a thing. It won't be one that only rich people can participate in. It will be for everyone. Everyone that wants to stand on the promises of God and participate. Oh, y'all heard the story. He said in the previous chapters, he talks about lions and bears, snakes. But kids can sit down and rub the fur of a bear. Lions can sit next to lambs. Oh, Lord, all this hunting, all this ravenous behavior will be put to rest. Because no longer will we have need. Because God said, I will provide all of your needs. Huh? Oh, Lord, hunting ways of old will be gone. There'll be silence because Jesus, Jesse's branch, will be on the throne. He will set things in order. I'm standing. Are you standing? Yeah. Say, standing on the promises of God. Because that's all I have. That's all we got. What this world spells out for us is vain. It's empty. It's useless. But when we stand on the promises, there's a guarantee. Ha! God's word don't lie. All other supports are seeking. And you see, Isaiah shows us both sides of the coin, what it means to stand and what happens when you don't. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that he who loves us will fight our battles. We as believers are given that assurance. Through the book of the Holy Writ, that regardless of what goes on around us, regardless of how our enemies try to ravage our flesh, regardless of what death the world does, how crazy it seems, how contrary the world becomes, he who is the true and righteous judge will have the last word. You see, even though Isaiah is an Old Testament prophet, his words have New Testament meaning because he prophesied about Jesus to come. He talked about Jesus coming. It's still alive today. He is coming back. Ain't he? Time is winding up. You see, there were seven phases or dispensations of time. The one of innocence, the one of conscience, the one of human government, the one of promise, and now we're in the one of grace. There ain't but one more. There ain't but one more. So time is winding up. The final period is the millennial reign. Somebody say millennial reign. Do you know what the millennial reign is? That's the coming of Jesus. If that don't get somebody excited, the coming of Jesus. So, in other words, the dispensation of grace, we can't pick and choose who is saved. This is the time period when we can get it right. He's giving us a window. The window of opportunity to get our house in order. To get our house in order. To put some of those foolish things that we carry each and every day. Put it aside. The backbiting, the lying, the stealing, the treachery that death has instituted. We've got to put it aside and step on the adversary's neck. Because the millennial age, the millennial reign and the kingdom of God is at hand. Time is winding up. We're hearing from the pages inspired by the word of God that never loses its power. So if we want to be in that number that makes it into the New Jerusalem, we have got not get to bog down. We can't get bogged down what this world shows us. He prophesied about it thousands of years ago. Y'all, that ought to get you warm and fuzzy. Think about it. He prophesied about it thousands of years ago. What our world looks like right now, he talked about it then. He talked about it then when justice would not be right. When thousands of our black boys are getting killed, justice is not right. It is the norm. Come on, somebody. He talked about it, and here it is in this present day. How they do all the things that they do. The shady business deals, the shady mortgages. They gentrification of our communities where they buy us out and build up places that we can't afford to live in. Y'all better get with me. It's happening right now. They're stripping the fiber of our community, telling us where to go and how to go and what to look like. Our traditions, our culture is being raped from us. All because treachery and sin is the national norm. Satan, death, is in the crevice and crack of every one of our leaders. Huh? Y'all better be paying attention. You better be paying attention. Election season is coming. You better be paying attention. And stop getting all gassed up, as the kids say, when they come and show up at our church. When they come show up at our church saying what we want to hear. You better be paying attention and going and reading for yourself. Because what they say ain't what they're going to do. But we know we got an answer. We got the trump card. We got the trump card because we know he's coming back. I don't know. Anybody in here standing on his promises? Anybody in here standing on his promises? I'm standing on his promise because he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'm standing on his promises because he said when my enemies rise up, he'll raise up a standard against them. I'm standing on his promises because he came into my sick room. I'm standing on his promises when I didn't have money in my pocket, he fed me. I'm standing on his promises when the world said no, he said yes. I'm standing on his promises because he knows my name. He knows my name. He knows your name. We got to stand on it. Because his word ain't going to come back, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Being in the world, but not being of the world. Being beyond what those don't understand. What are you standing on? What are you standing on? If you're standing on the word of God and you're standing on his promise, then the wind that blows. When the wind blows, I'm going to hide behind that mountain. When that chilly wind comes in, when that doubt, that disappointment comes in, when my money gets funny, I'm standing on the promises of God. When people start acting foolish, saying all things about behind my back, I'm standing on the promises of God. When I'm alone at night, and at midnight it gets a little lonely, and I'm crying in the midnight hour, he said, trouble don't last always. In the morning, joy will come. It's a beautiful day. Because Jesus reigns. I can't rest. We can't rest on what we see. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So my faith is on my Father. And I'll put 100 on him every time. I'll put 1,000 on him every time. I'll put 1,000,000 on him every time. When I'm placing my bets, I'm standing on the promises of God. Are y'all standing? Are we standing? Are we standing? Oh, if we're standing, then we start calling some things into existence. If we're standing, then we start telling devil, get out of my face, because you can't reside here, because I'm a king's kid. If we are standing, then that enemy can't just do whatever he wants to do. If we are standing, when trouble comes, we can face it. If we're standing, when sickness comes, we can cry by your stripes, I am healed. When our enemy comes in like a flood, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon. No weapon. They didn't say what kind of weapon. They just said no weapon. I'm standing on the promises of God. Are y'all standing today? Are we standing today? If we're standing, then we have to boldly proclaim the good news, who God is and the power of his might. But the only way we can stand is if we read the word. Isaiah talked about it thousands of years ago, when the new Jerusalem would come. He talked about what would be happening. Isn't it happening? There's a prime example of the word of God being springing forth new life. He said all of this would exist, but are you going to be the remnant? Are you going to be the remnant that stands, that believes, that trusts, that reads, that prays, that challenges? We got to stop being comfortable. We got to stop being comfortable. Right. We can't lick it by ourselves. So you got to go with God. Amen. And you got to let him pave the way. When he tells you to speak, you speak. But we've got to be that remnant that stands up if we want to make it into the new Jerusalem, where everything will be all right. We won't be plagued by anything anymore. All these things that get us bogged down, depression, oh Lord, bereave our heavy hearts. All the things that we struggle with down here will be put, because he's going to kill and swallow up death. He will have no power. Are you standing on the promises? Let us stand on our feet. Are we standing on the promises?